Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, whether you're new to using VoiceOver on the Mac or whether you've been using it for some time, you'll be interested in some of the things that we have to say in this show.
We'll be speaking with Janet Ingber about her recently published book entitled Learn to Use the Mac with VoiceOver, a step-by-step guide for blind users that is available in many formats from the National Braille Press. We'll speak with Janet about the book, many features of VoiceOver, and towards the end of the show, about her career as a blind music therapist. But first for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Janet Ingber. We often end our interviews by asking whether our guest has any advice or tips for our listeners in case we haven't picked up a tip along the way by then. Usually, the response is related to the topic of the interview. This one wasn't, but it's useful nonetheless.
My advice is just do what you can do. You know, there are going to be people out there that are going to tell you no, or they're going to say something ridiculous to you or ask you a really silly question or something. And I mean, somebody asked me who does my makeup. Okay. You know, oh, I hire somebody to come. You know, no, I do my own makeup. You know, especially if visual impairment is new to you, just it's going to happen. Just, you know, be aware of it and just go about your business and do the best you can. And it's okay to make a mistake. No matter what you're doing, it is not the end of the world.
We learn through our mistakes.
Absolutely.
Wow, I'm pretty miserable at doing my own makeup, and I can see I don't know how you do it. I mean, I know Pete can do anything, but, yeah. You know, the thought of sticking an eyeliner pencil next to my eye, if I couldn't see, I'd be terrified.
You use the other hand to locate where you want the pencil to go, and then you just track along with the hand and the pencil.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, like Nancy says, I can do almost anything that I really want to do, but if I haven't done something like put on eyeliner, I couldn't imagine how it'd be done.
Right.
But I'm sure people figure out a way once you know how.
Hey, I could do my makeup in the dark. I don't care.
Hey, Pete used to shave in the shower. And everyone's like, well, how do you do that without a mirror? He's like, what do I need a mirror for?
Exactly.
Don't you know where your face is? I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I guess.
I guess so. Now, my favorite, though, is like at the doctor's office where the nurse will ask, do I need help getting undressed? That's my favorite.
I know in that article you wrote 10-ish years ago, Pete mentioned that we go in and do science lessons in the public schools, and then at the end of the year, he does what we affectionately refer to as his blind act, where he explains to the kids, you know, without seeing, this is how he reads and tells time and does all this other stuff. And then he takes questions, you know, how do you do such and such? And invariably, some kid will ask, how do you eat?
Right.
How do you brush your teeth?
Right.
So I tell them, you have a homework assignment tonight. I want you to go into the bathroom, turn out the lights, close your eyes, and try to brush your teeth.
Yeah. It's amazing the questions that you get.
Yeah. The real classic was after some kid asked him how he knew what color he was wearing. The kid says in front of the entire fourth grade, how do you know what I'm wearing? And Pete thought for a minute. He said, well, I have no idea. For all I know, you could be completely naked.
You could hear him turn red.
I think he's still red. Poor kid. Okay, getting a little more serious, let's start by meeting Janet Ingber and learning about Access World and some of the work that she does for it.
My name is Janet Ingber, and I live in New York City. I am more or less totally blind, and I have a job as a music therapist, but the job that I'm here to talk about today is that I freelance write for Access World, and I also freelance write for National Braille Press, and I just wrote and got published the book, Learn to Use the Mac with VoiceOver, and it's published by National Braille Press.
And what's the cause of your blindness?
I was born with LCA, Laborers Congenital Amaurosis. from birth to about 40 years, I was able to read books and stuff with my nose on the page, and I could more or less walk around without a cane. And then about 20 years ago, I lost basically what little vision I have. So I now have a guide dog, and my computer talks, and I learn Braille as an adult.
Now, you mentioned Access World, and coincidentally, you and I ran into each other about 10 years ago when you wrote an article about four blind scientists, one of whom was me.
That was one of the first articles I had written. I remember you guys were my first interview, and you were great, and we were talking about tech stuff and everything that's coming out and everything that we're looking forward to. And I remember specifically going, this is so far back, that Maestro was coming out, the PDA, and now the technology has come so far from there, and it's so much mainstream technology that can be used now, which is wonderful.
Things have moved a whole lot. And we'll have a link to that Access World article in our show notes. I find Access World to be an interesting newsletter. Can you tell people a little bit about it for those who aren't familiar with it?
Sure. It's published by American Foundation for the Blind. It is free, and it has many articles on different topics. There's product evaluations, there's tutorials, there's reviews, there's interviews on all kinds of topics related to technology and people who are visually impaired. A lot of my articles are on Apple products such as Mac or the iPhone.
And if people wanted to subscribe, where would they go?
You can go to www.afb.org and click on the Access World link, and that will get you to the Access World page. You can sign up for alerts when Access World is available, and then you can just click through the links in that email. There is no charge for this. And there's also an iOS app that you can get in the App Store.
And presumably because of the wonders of the internet, even though this is sponsored by the American Foundation for the Blind, anybody on the planet can get hold of this.
Absolutely. And it's absolutely free.
And you'll find reviews of new technologies and interviews with people to be very interesting and informative. So it's worth checking out.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
As promised, this week's focus topic is how to use a Mac with VoiceOver.
So today we primarily wanted to talk about using a Mac computer with VoiceOver. But before the interview, you told us that you had been a Windows user and had switched over to using a Mac. Can you tell us a little about why you made the change?
Sure. What happened was I was listening to and reading articles in Access World about cell phones, and I was still writing for them, but of course I was reading these articles and people loving the iPhone, and I finally decided to get one, and I absolutely loved it. It was a bit of a learning curve, and initially when I got it, I was ready to throw it out the window. But after a couple of weeks, I really got it, and I absolutely loved it. And it was time for a new computer, and I was so happy with my iPhone and Apple and VoiceOver on the iPhone that I decided to switch over to the Mac. And I've never regretted it. I love the idea of having an onboard built-in screen reader not made by a third party, and the fact that I also switched to a laptop so I can take it anywhere with me. I have a MacBook Air, an 11-inch, because I'm not using the screen, so I don't really care what size the screen is. The smaller, the better.
Well, I always thought that was very interesting about the iPhone. I also very much like my iPhone. And as you say, it's nice and portable. And who cares how big the screen is if you can't see it? You just as soon have a smaller device.
So now, I assume you do a lot of word processing because you're a freelance writer. What other kinds of things do you typically do on your Mac?
I do everything on my Mac. I do email, obviously, internet. I am part of the podcast team at www.htb2.com. So I will record the audio on podcasts, on one particular podcast called We're Still Talking, which is for blind women talking about whatever relates to blind women everywhere. It doesn't have to be tech. So I'll use my Mac to record the audio, and then I will also edit the podcast. I do everything on the Mac, you know, that the average person would do.
And presumably, because you're totally blind, you do all of that using VoiceOver.
Absolutely. Apple has really done a fabulous job with it. It's very customizable. The voices are good. What I really like, what I said before, is that it is not a third-party application. And any iOS device, so the iPad, the iPad Touch, the iPhone, or Mac, doesn't matter whether it's a Mac Pro, MacBook Pro, any of the any Apple device at this point comes with VoiceOver on board.
So before we get into the details of the book and some tips you might have for people using VoiceOver on the Mac, can you give us a summary of the book? What does it cover and who is it intended for?
The book is for anybody that's thinking of buying a Mac, has just bought a Mac, is switching from Windows to the Mac. It covers everything from taking your computer out of the box, feeling around what's on the computer, because each computer has different ports and stuff. And so like my MacBook Air only has two USB ports, and you know the MacBook Pros have more, and there are links in there to find out what's available on each thing. And then there's a tactile description of where everything is, where the trackpad is, where the keyboard is. Then it goes into setting up your Mac and what's on the screen, how to set VoiceOver up to work more efficiently. And then it goes into the details on different applications, like in the email application, it gives directions on how to set up an account, how to create extra mailboxes, how to move items, how to empty your trash. It's really a total how-to, hands-on guide on how to do things. And it also talks about the VoiceOver utility, which is where you will customize VoiceOver, because as much as a screen reader is great for talking, there are going to be times when you don't want it telling you every single thing that it can possibly tell you. So there's a whole section on how to customize VoiceOver and how to customize different commands to make it perfect for what you need.
Now, this book, it's available from the National Braille Press. I assume that's in Braille. But I'm wondering if there are other formats that it's also available in.
Yeah, it's available as an ASCII text download. It's available as a Word download, as a DAISY download, and as, I believe, as a Braille download as well.
And that's all from the National Braille Press?
Uh-huh.
Just in case anybody doesn't know their URL, can you give that?
Sure. It's www.nbp.org. And if you want, just when you get to that page, you can just put in Mac and the book should come up.
And of course, we will have that link in the show notes for this show at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
Assuming someone buys your book and either has a new Mac and is getting used to it, or has a Mac that they have that they want to start using VoiceOver with, how would you advise people start that process? Should they read the book first? Is there help on the Mac itself that is they should go through?
There is both. The book is not necessarily meant to be read cover to cover. You can, but there are many, many headings, so you can kind of jump to exactly what you want. So if you're trying to customize VoiceOver and do the VoiceOver utility, you don't want to go through the whole book to finally get there. So everything is broken down by major headings. I mean, there's headings for just about everything in there. And so you could do it that way. You can read it cover to cover if you want to. If you are just getting your Mac, my recommendation is to start with the initial chapters, get VoiceOver basically set up, and then go at your own pace. I put email early in the book because when I got my Mac, one of the first things that I wanted to do was get my email set up. And if you buy your Mac actually at the Apple Store, come with your username and password and everything for your email account. They will do that for you for free. They won't do everything else for free, but they will do that for you. And that's a nice way to go. VoiceOver has a very extensive help system. One is all commands. The other thing is kind of a VoiceOver how-to guide, but it's not as extensive. And you can get all of that in the book. And there's also, which is absolutely wonderful, a VoiceOver tutorial that is also on board. And it will show you how to go through everything that you need. You'll learn how to fill out forms, how to use the internet, how to make choices with a web rotor, all kinds of things. And it's an excellent way to start.
This is the help system built into the Macs.
Right.
And how does one get into that?
When you launch VoiceOver the first time, it will ask you if you want to go to the tutorial. and it'll tell you to press the letter. I believe it's V, but don't quote me. And it will also tell you if you want to do it later, it will tell you the key combination to load it.
Oh, so that sounds pretty simple. They really do guide you through it as you're setting up your computer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it's not your first time turning it on, then how do you get in to help?
You can type VOH or VOHH, depending on what you want to come up. And to turn VoiceOver on, if it's not on, you're going to type Command F5. And to do that, is Command is the key to the left or the right of the space bar. And then F5 is the function key.
So now you also use the shortcut nomenclature VOH or VOHH. VO, for others who may not know, stands for the voiceover key or some kind of hotkey. What does that really mean? What keys do you press?
You use the control and option keys. And on the Mac keyboard, that is, if you're going from the space bar, like I said, the one right next to it to the left of the space bar is the command key. And then the next two keys are the option and control key. So it's the middle two keys to the left of the space bar, or the VO keys. And they're used to execute voiceover commands.
In combination with some of the other letter keys.
Letter keys or function keys or, yeah.
So that's one big difference between Macs and Windows. And when you're making the transition, Windows keyboards don't have those keys. So one has to be a little bit cognizant that the keyboard is different between a Mac and a Windows PC.
Right. And initially, when I started doing this, it's like, oh my God, I got to hold these keys down all the time. What a pain. But after a while, you really get used to it and it becomes second nature. And there's also other ways to navigate using what's called the trackpad. It's under the keyboard and you can do all kinds of things with it so that you're sort of simulating a mouse. So you can control everything with a couple of fingers, which I really, really like. I used to find it really frustrating that I couldn't use the mouse and all my sighted peers were and click, click, move a click, click. And now with the trackpad, you get a lot of speed and I love it. You can have it read by different increments, whether by word, by paragraph, by character. You can execute web commands on it. There's tons of things that you can do. And that's all set up and it's all explained in the book.
So now you said that your first Apple device was the telephone, the iPhone, and then after getting used to that, you got your Mac, which has a keyboard.
Correct.
Now, are some of these patterns that you do on the trackpad analogous to the gestures on the telephone?
Yes. Flick down, flick up, flick left. Yes. A lot of those gestures are the same. And in fact, when you're using the web rotor, going from character to line to word, you're going to do the same kind of gesture like you would do on the iPhone with the rotor, that little twist to the left or to the right. You're going to do that same kind of gesture.
So could you do most of your navigation using the trackpad as if it were an iPhone screen, or you do most of it using keyboard commands?
I could do it either way. It just kind of depends what mood I'm in, or sometimes one way will work better. My feeling is that, you know, you need to know any option that there is. You know, it just depends. I go back and forth.
But it's interesting, as you say, about dual ways of functioning. I find when we travel, we don't take our laptops anymore. I just take my iPhone and a foldable Bluetooth keyboard. And I do use both types of navigation and operation. I find myself flicking and touching the phone to do some operations, and then I'll use the keyboard to perform other operations. And you can use them in conjunction and, as you say, whenever you want. It's quite handy.
What's really cool on the Mac now, too, is that starting with OS X Mavericks, there's also a dictation feature where you can just dictate your text, like if you're writing an email, same as on the phone. You can dictate, and it actually does a very, very good job. When I was testing it, I gave it all kinds of tongue twisters, and it does a very good job. And then you can just go in and edit like you would ordinarily edit. So that's another nice feature.
And that's great to have the two systems so similar, so you don't have to keep learning new devices and new ways of operating just because you move to a different device.
Right, like to dictate on the iOS devices now, you double tap with two fingers, or you press the dictate button on the lower left. And to do it on the Mac, the default is you just press the function key, which is the bottom row all the way to the left. You press it twice to start it, and you press it twice to stop it. So the command might be slightly different, but it's basically the same idea, start and then stop.
I heard that the trackpad on the Mac gives you even greater flexibility with using gestures.
What's really cool about the trackpad is that you can create your own gestures. So, like, I created one to open the VoiceOver utility. I created one to open iTunes. It's just, you know, whatever you want.
So that's akin to setting up specialized hotkeys on the keyboard, but apparently you can do that with gestures.
Correct.
Now, I guess that's only available on the Macs. I don't believe that's available on the iPhone.
No, I haven't seen it on iOS devices, but it is available on the Mac. The trick is, though, I went gesture crazy at one point, and I created so many of them that I couldn't even remember all the ones I created. So I got rid of some of them and just like kept the ones that I use the most.
So speaking of dual ways of operating, in the latest iOS 7 release on the iPhones, I noticed that they put a handwriting feature in there. And I figured, well, that's kind of useless if you have a Bluetooth keyboard or you can use the dictation functions. But I'll often use that for entering my password because then my password isn't audible as I click the numbers on the keypad.
Yeah, I do that too.
So that's an interesting hint if other people want to hide their passwords from people with ears.
Yes.
So what other hints do you have for people using Mac computers? What other things should they know about?
My biggest hint has nothing actually to do with the Mac computer or any device. It's don't try to do it all in a day. It's not going to happen. You're going to get frustrated and just it takes a long time. You know, learn a little bit and then go to next and do that. What I'd say with the Mac is realize that there's a tremendous amount of material to cover and, you know, learn the basic things first and then go on to the fancy stuff. So learn your keyboard navigation first and then go ahead and learn about using the trackpad or learn about using keyboard commanders, which is another way to navigate. It's not one that I use, but there are people that do. So I'd say learn one thing at a time. So for me, the first thing that I did was I got my Mac set up, and then the next thing I did was I set up my email because that was the thing I needed, like, immediately. So then maybe after you're done with your email, go to word processing or go to internet and just go slowly. There is so much information out there. And with the Mac, you know, you'll see that after a while, a lot of the gestures are the same and the commands are the same. Whatever you do, don't try and learn it all in a day. Don't worry. Just take your time.
All of this is great advice for any new computer hardware or software. You know, take it gradually, learn what you need as you need it, a bit by bit by bit. How long would you guess it took you to feel at least comfortable using your new Mac?
It took me maybe a month to become fluid on it, but what happened was that my daughter had a Mac also, so I got to practice on that a little bit. What I did, because there wasn't such a book around, was I use the VoiceOver help. I also found podcasts on using the Mac. I found them on Apple Viz, and David Woodbridge does some phenomenal Mac podcasts. You can find them on iBlink Radio. You can Google David Woodbridge, DavidWoodbridge. He did great podcasts. Lots of people did podcasts. And I just, you know, did a Google search for a lot of stuff. VoiceOver, how do I do this? And there's a lot of stuff online.
And to go along with that, I use a Windows computer most of the time at home. It's mostly on the road where I use my iPhone with a Bluetooth keyboard, but I always keep a link to a web page that has the keyboard commands for using VoiceOver on it. So when I'm away and just using my phone with the Bluetooth keyboard, I can refer to that web page with the hotkeys for doing various things.
In the back of the book is a resource guide, including a bunch of Apple stuff and links for Apple Viz and all kinds of things so that you can also check out other things.
And you mentioned Apple Viz. Where can people find that great resource?
That is at www.applevis.com. And they have stuff on iOS and Mac.
And just to reinforce, as we've said many times on this show, and Janet herself also said, let Google be your friend. If you have a question, you need it answered quickly, Google is great at finding the answers.
Now for this week's final item, music therapy, Janet's day job.
I'm kind of curious. You mentioned before the interview that you do music therapy.
I do.
That's your main job. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So as I said in the beginning, I am a music therapist. And what we do is we use music as a tool to help bring about a change, whether it's in behavior or improving motor skills or improving speech. It's active music making. It's not necessarily sitting and listening to music. So in my situation, I work with adults who have developmental disabilities, including autism. So I work with them on social skills, waiting for turns, making choices, sharing materials, or I might work with some of my other clients on motor skills. So getting them to move their arm to hit a drum or to press a switch to trigger music. It's a really fun way to make a living. There are actually a fair number of music therapists who have visual impairments. It is certainly doable. And if anybody wants information on music therapy at all, they can go to www.musictherapy.org.
And how did you get involved in that?
I was going to go to school and become an occupational therapist or a physical therapist. And my mother at the time said, you know, I heard of this thing called music therapy and you're a musician. And, you know, why don't you check this out? And I did check it out and it looked interesting. If I had been a physical therapist or an occupational therapist, I would have made more money. But this is really fun. I get to do music every day that I work and I get paid to do it.
That does sound like fun. What do you play?
I can play piano, guitar, flute, oboe, ukulele, and of course all the small percussion instruments.
What kind of background did you need, educational or otherwise, to get into being a music therapist?
You can get certified as a music therapist on the bachelor's or master's level. You need psychology courses, music therapy theory, music therapy practicum, different methods of music therapy, different techniques. So it's a whole very involved program. I graduated graduate school with a degree in music therapy in 1980. I supervise interns now and fieldwork students, and the coursework has gotten much more detailed, and there are more core courses than there were when I was coming through the ranks.
Well, that sounds like a really fun and rewarding field to be in. You could be helping people and, as you say, having a good time at the same time.
Oh, definitely.
Well, as usual, you can find the links to all the resources we talked about in this show in the show notes for this episode at our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1434. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about macular degeneration with Dan Roberts, who has macular degeneration, which was the cause of the loss of his eyesight. And he has become very knowledgeable on the subject, and he has websites and support groups and all sorts of resources that he's collected and disseminates information to other people with the same and similar conditions. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333 and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboo.fm at Eyes on Success or Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.